Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I've said rather flippantly, maybe we shouldn't look into the Eskom corruption because, you know, you factor in the amount paid to the crime syndicates into your bottom line, and then we don't get load shedding. In the meantime, we'll sort out our own electricity supply. But of course, that is absolute nonsense. We can't really function in any decent society on that basis. Wayne Duvenage, he's the chief executive officer at Outer. Joins us this morning. Why would the ANC not want to look into corruption at Eskom? Wayne, good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you?
Morning, Howard. I'm very well. How are you?
I am good, thank you. I guess the question has an obvious and sad answer, doesn't it?
It certainly does. You know, when every other political party votes for something to happen, mm-hmm. and one party that is potentially implicated in this investigation, if it went ahead, votes against it, then clearly this is the where our democratic system has gone a little bit awry, and we have a ruling party that we know is steeped in corruption in many instances, and I think they fear what might come from this this investigation. And, you know, when the CEO of Eskom, the biggest state-owned entity in the country, makes the allegations that he did, it's not as if some admin clerk or somebody on the floor, the factory floor, made these allegations. It's a CEO, so you should be taking this a lot more seriously. There's a lot of smoke around this issue. And for the ruling party to say, no, we don't want this meaningful forensic investigation to take place, says, I think, very clearly they fear that what has been surmised is true, and that wouldn't be good for the ruling party going into the elections in about 15 months' time.
So what are the alternatives then? So the ANC says, no, we're not looking into this. We're putting these allegations aside for now for whatever reason they might give. It's irrelevant. What are the other alternatives? Who can look into Eskom?
Well, I think civil society can do it. It's going to take a lot of money. We have to get the forensic investigators. We have to meet very carefully behind the scenes with people who might have a lot of information and try and do our own investigations and then bring potentially a civil case or lay charges with the NPA and the Hawks to do their job. And hopefully they would, but that's the long way around. Let's put it the way that we want to see it, as civil society. Government putting all its, not all its resources, but, you know, significant resources into this investigation. And you don't have to put a lot in. Think of the economic turmoil that we have with load shedding and the potential losses that are taking place. So we would prefer government to do it meaningfully, but if there's no political will, then civil society will have to look. We're trying to find evidence and information. It's not easy. We can't subpoena certain information, whereas the authorities can. So, you know, I would love to see the police, the Hawks, saying, well, you know, if you don't want to do the work, Parliament, we'll do it. But again, there's a political agenda here, so it's not going to happen.
One of our listeners asking, please can you ask Wayne if he thinks that this new stage one is vote garnering, because this doesn't seem this doesn't seem true to everything that we've experienced. Do you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say so. It wouldn't be vote garnering now too far in advance of the election. If you're going to do that, you're going to do it strategically. I just think there has been a number of units brought back online. The question is the sustainability and the consistency of the repairs. So, you know, will we slip back into stage two or four? Who knows? But it's somewhere along the line. It has to get better. It can't keep getting worse. So I wouldn't see it that way now.
You know, we've been through all these inquiries, and we've been through the Guptas, and we've been through all of the sort of the turning the cards up on the table, looking at South Africa in some of the ugliest, in our ugliest stages. The reality is that not much there hasn't been, there haven't been many prosecutions following that. Are you more hopeful that in a case like Eskom, where it's, where you're looking at a specific environment, that we won't just know what's going on, that we can actually at some point see some justice being done?
You know, I'd like to think that, but it's, the wheels of justice are just turning too slowly at the moment. You know, when Cyril Ramaphosa came into power on the back of a ticket of anti-corruption, and we were all, our hopes were high, the Tumamina campaign, let's get on top of this, the Zondo report coming out in its final stages. And here we sit today, many people in high places implicated, very, very little happening. And we know the NPA and the new investigating directorate is still new and being capacitated. So we understand they're dealing with everyday crime and serious crime, as well as trying to get on top of a 10-year history of state capture. But with all the evidence there, well, the mind boggles as to why it's taking so long to get a number of these high-profile.
Because in fact, the evidence has been gathered, and that was the point of these inquiries and commissions. There certainly should be enough to get this ball rolling, and for South Africans to see justice being carried out. But we're not seeing that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's taking far too long. And as that classic saying goes, justice delayed is justice denied. This country needs to see some accountability on some of these big matters. As far as we know, the Guptas were arrested and are still in jail
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm buying that anymore. I'd love to actually, I'd love to see them holding a newspaper up with today's date in prison in Dubai, just to see that this is actually true, because I'm not convinced.
Exactly. And Howard, I can tell you now, no foreign state is going to keep fugitives for another country behind bars for as long as this. Their justice system will be saying, listen, South Africa, if you want these individuals extradited, we've imprisoned them on the back of your charges, we need to move them to you, but you've got to give us the information. So why are they taking so long? There's so much behind the scenes, political shenanigans going on as far as we're concerned, that this is a case for the ANC, damned if they do, damned if they don't, because there are too many things that come out the woodwork when the Guptas do get here, and a lot of corruption is put on the table.
Yeah, and a lot of people. Yeah, it will. Anton L. saying, it's a real pity we speak about the ruling party and not the governing party. I hear it. It's a fair comment, and certainly it's been a problem in South Africa for a while. So just to end, Wayne, the inquiry at Eskom, this is something that Outer would ideally like to take on, civil society pushing this, but obviously it's a journey.
Yeah, it is. It requires funds. It requires dedicated people, teams, and information. We can do nothing without the facts. We cannot operate on hearsay. We need the facts. Our team is stretched. We've got to build our team, quite frankly, and it's very tough in an environment where our support base is tight. So it's a combination of things for us. But if we do get the hard evidence, we have no fear. We will lay the charges. Certainly. Then it's up to the authority. And we've laid charges against the deputy president on the fictitious land claims, where again, we sit here and nothing's happening. We haven't got any feedback. So it's frustrating for us, let me tell you.
Absolutely, no doubt. Wayne Duvenage, just keep doing the work that you are doing, Chief Executive Officer at Outer, the organization, and doing tax abuse.